Now, we've heard the kids say the Beatitudes. We've heard one voice read out the Beatitudes. And what does it all mean? So when Jesus ascended that mountainside, that's at the few verses before what Zachary read, he opened his mouth to teach, and the audience would have immediately recognized the significance of what was happening and what he was saying. Not just in what he was saying, but where he was saying and how he was saying it. In the Old Testament, we have another mountain incident where Moses goes up to the mountain and he receives the law. But here Jesus is at the mountainside and he's revealing the meaning of that law. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is introducing us to the whole upside-down kingdom of God, where the last will be first. And his kingdom doesn't follow a worldly structure of power and fame, but instead, Jesus says that the poor and meek will be blessed. Now, this Sermon on the Mount is perhaps one of Jesus' most famous, dense block of teaching. And Matthew probably didn't waste any time or any of his creative juices to come up with a catchy title. So hence you have the Sermon on the Mount. So after that introduction, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus ascended the mountainside, and then you have another heading that says Beatitudes. And that literally comes from the Latin translation in the New Testament as happy or blessed. So it makes sense to start all of these with that, the same phrase for every, you know, who is blessed. Blessed are those who, and then you have the whole list. Now, the word blessed in the Beatitudes is not a word that's just translated as general blessing from God, which is all over the Bible. But the English word that in this passage and what Jesus wants to say is from the Greek translation Makarios, which is used all over the Jewish and pagan literature in Jesus' time. Most translators opt for that word blessing, but that could be misleading because this does not just refer to a surface blessing, but more of a soul deep kind of a blessing. Now, Makarios in Jesus' days was actually an introduction to a salutation, you know, starting a conversation. And because for that reason, and most scholars do agree, or rather argue, that the best equivalent English word for this is probably what we can get as close as possible is congratulations. So when something great happens in Jesus' world, someone would say, Makarios, congratulations. Makarios on the graduation. Makarios on your promotion. Makarios on your wedding day. Makarios on having a new baby. Congratulations, be blessed. But the Beatitudes were so provocative in that time and for those people who heard it, because Jesus was using this celebratory word of congratulations to apply it to exactly an opposite set of circumstances. Congratulations, Makarios, you're poor in spirit. Congratulations, Makarios, you're meek and unwanted or unimportant. Do you see how polarizing this is? If I was sitting there on that mountainside and I was grieving something, I would have thought this was completely offensive or at least confusing. I think Beatitudes are one of Jesus' most misunderstood but yet important teaching that he gives us when he was here on earth. Especially for us who can confuse it in this time and age. So let's begin with what the Beatitudes is not. This isn't a list of virtues. So the Beatitudes sounds like a good list of things to do or to try to be. To try to be poor in spirit, try to be meek, try to be sad, try to be gentle, try to be hungry for the right thing. But they're not actually a list of things that we must do or become so that we can make God happy. Instead, there are a surprising list of people that we might not expect, who are already blessed because God is with them. Now, Jesus isn't saying, try hard to become poor or sad. He is saying, if you're poor or sad or left out, take heart, he is with you, he sees you, you are already blessed. And it's not about earning God's favor to be good enough. It's about how God totally flips the world's idea upside down. Now the world says, be strong, be rich, be powerful, be popular, be first. But Jesus says, even if you're weak, you're blessed. Even if you're mourning, be blessed. Even if you're not important in the world's eyes, be blessed. So the Beatitudes are a message of hope and comfort, and definitely not a list of rules or goals to achieve. So it's not a list of virtues. It's also not a list of commandments or commands. Now, those who already confuse the Beatitudes to be a list of virtues, take it a step further and assume that we are meant to do or to pursue these statements that we heard. So Jesus isn't saying you must be poor in spirit. You have to be sad. You better be meek. No, he's not giving us a list of things we have to do to be accepted by God. Instead, Jesus is saying something really beautiful here. Even if you're sad, even if you're poor, even if you feel left out, or you are left out, you are not forgotten. You are blessed. God is with you. So Beatitudes is definitely not another version of or a New Testament version of the Ten Commandments. They don't say do this or do that. And they're not an instruction, but they're rather a declaration. Jesus is telling us what is already true in God's kingdom. He isn't telling us what to do. He's telling us who God loves. So it's not a list of virtues. It's not a list of commands. And it's definitely not a list of proverbs. Now, proverbs are short, wise sayings that tells you how life usually works. So work hard and you'll probably succeed. Be kind and people will like you. A gentle answer turns away anger. Now, they often, Proverbs. Proverbs, they often say, do this and probably this will happen. That's a general idea of the Proverbs. But Beatitudes are not like that. Jesus isn't saying, if you try to be poor in spirit, then good things will happen to you. Or if you mourn, if you cry, then things will eventually get better. Instead, God is making a surprising announcement or announcements. Bold declaration that God is already at work in people that often gets ignored. Now, Proverbs are an advice for living wisely. Beatitudes are good news for those who are struggling. So in a world obsessed with self-promotion, what do? We try to live humbly. In a world that avoids pain, we enter into suffering with others. In a world that rewards the ruthless, we extend mercy. In a world divided by conflict, we become those peacemakers. And in a world choosing comfort, we may suffer, yet we rejoice. Now, the ultimate reversal of this kingdom is Jesus dying on the cross for us. Because it was life through death. It was victory through surrendering himself. And it was achieving glory through the shame that he suffered. Now, Jesus became poor so that we might be rich in spirit. He mourned so that we could rejoice. He was persecuted so that we could be accepted. So if the Beatitudes are true, then the world isn't upside down. It's Jesus who's putting the world right side up. After the song and some prayers, we will be listening to the Beatitudes again in a different way, something that we can relate to our situation, our perspective here. Amen.
So we've had some time to pray, but there may be some of you who feel that you want to have more time to pray, and so after the service there will be prayer ministry available, or find people that you know in your cell groups or people that you trust that you want to just get and pray with about whatever's going on in your situation. And today we have a church lunch as well, so you're all invited to stay. Whether you've brought any food to share or not, please don't feel embarrassed to come and join with us, and we can have conversations together about what we have received from God. So just as we are coming to the close of the service, maybe if it helps you to close your eyes, or you can just sit and listen to a paraphrase of the Beatitudes that someone else has written. And from this, we'll just quietly go into our final song. The back to front, upside down blessings of Jesus. You are blessed when you recognize your need of God in your life, even if life feels really hard, even if you are poor or struggling to get by, even if you're waiting in line at a food bank or wondering how you'll pay the bills. Jesus says, "My kingdom is for you." You're blessed when your heart is broken by the sin in the world and in your life. If you're crying because someone you love has died. If you're sad about something really painful, even if no one else sees it, God sees it. He promises you will be comforted. You're blessed when you're gentle and kind, even if people don't notice. If you let others go first, if you help but don't get thanked, if you don't push to be the loudest or the best, God says you will inherit what really matters. You're blessed if you care deeply about what is right. If you feel upset when things are unfair, when people don't get paid enough or others are treated badly, that deep hunger for justice is a sign of his life in you. And Jesus promises you will be satisfied. You're blessed when you show mercy, when you forgive instead of holding a grudge, when you give people another chance, when you choose kindness, even when it's hard. God says, you'll be shown mercy too. You're blessed when your heart stays clean and honest, when you don't pretend to be more important than you are, when you don't let the world's darkness change who you are. God says, you will see him. You're blessed when you try to make peace, even when it's easier to argue or stay angry, even when others are unfair. When you keep treating people with love and respect, you are showing the world what God is like. You're a child of God. You're blessed when people make fun of you or leave you out because you love Jesus. That's because you belong to a different kingdom, not the kind with big houses and money and power, but a kingdom of love, truth, and forever life. Jesus says, "My kingdom is for you." The people who heard Jesus that day on the mountain were surprised. He wasn't giving a list of how to be good. He was telling the truth about how God sees things. He was offering a gift for people to receive, which is often the opposite of how the world sees things. And he was saying, if life is upside down right now, that might mean that you are already a part of my back to front, upside down kingdom. Amen.